Jake Meyers will not be on the Astros World Series roster. Suffered a shoulder injury against the White Sox, and he could not play in the field, so he is not on the World Series roster. Hopefully before this hour is over, we're going to play you some sound. So you heard Mike Tomlin with a strong denial of his name being attached to USC. Good luck to everybody that covers Penn State for the rest of the season, because James Franklin is having nothing of talk about USC. We'll get you some of that sound before we are done. Let's welcome in Tom Chattel, the Omaha World Herald, Tuesdays with Tom. What happens, James Franklin? Does he stay or does he go?
Well, he's I think he's 1 foot out the door, don't you? He changed his agent. He's got Jimmy Sexton, apparently. So that means he's on the market, on the move, probably. So, yeah, I think that thing's about to unravel. I mean, maybe it already has. Maybe that's why they played that way last week.
Well, Jimmy Sexton, who is the agent for coaches, he represents 11 of the 14 in the SEC. He goes from, I think, Trace Armstrong, the former Florida Gator and Chicago Bear, was his agent, and now he's gone to Jimmy Sexton. But if you're Penn State, and I think Penn State's one of the better jobs in all of college football. You do have to overcome Ohio State and Michigan compared to Washington and Oregon, but it's still, Penn State is in a lot better spot than when Bill O'Brien took over for Paterno. It's got a rabid fan base. It's got a national brand. You can recruit there. But if you're Penn State and this is happening and you're watching it unfold and Penn State's season now at 5-2, maybe going south, do you fight to keep James Franklin?
No, if he wants out, I mean, if he's doing all this, and I don't know that he is, but I just saw a couple of his quotes from the press conference today, and he didn't, he certainly didn't put the fire out. Like he said, he's focusing on Illinois. Well, too late. But I mean, he didn't even get Ohio State right. So who knows where his head's at? We were just talking about this at Nebraska football practice. Is that the kind of job that Luke Fickell goes for? Because he ain't going to USC or LSU. He's got a great job at Cincinnati. In fact, he'll have the best job in the Big 12 once they get in there. And OU and Texas leave. But or what about Matt Campbell? Is that the kind of job he goes after? That will be a very interesting play. I just don't know where Franklin ends up if he keeps losing games. Yeah. Will USC still want him? So sit back and get some popcorn.
I think he's losing his leverage at Penn State if that's what he's trying to do. So if you've got 1 foot out the door, you might as well bring the other foot with you and go off to Los Angeles. But I wonder if people that are power brokers at USC that are decision makers, if they go, we just watched that 9-overtime fiasco. We're going to watch the rest of the season before we move forward if he is a candidate. And that would be a little tricky. That would be an uncomfortable whatever happens at Penn State with him.
I think that's true, but who else have they got? You know what I mean? So I don't think a lot of people are lining up for USC right now that are – I mean, they have to have a big name or a Hollywood or – I don't think Franklin's Hollywood. But certainly – he would be a guy that if they can get him, they're probably going to want to get him. So, and they could just say, well, you know, this or that happened to Penn State, and it's just one of those things. They could still sell their fan base on him because I don't know who's lining up behind him. Mm.
Tom Chattel from the World Herald joining us. So it looks like with in-season firings, I mean, the Texas Tech one, we don't follow Texas Tech on a daily basis, so caught some people off guard. Other people inside said, yeah, after the last couple of weeks, I could see this coming. But that's an in-season firing. Justin Fuente may not make it through the year. USC, LSU, both have made changes in season. We don't know what's going to happen in Miami, but I think Manny Diaz is safe because the athletic director might not be safe. Do you think, a couple of things here, Tom, that athletic directors are past the last year was a COVID pass, now we're back to reality, and how silly do you think this offseason gets? Because today, there's a lot of speculation about Dan Mullen at Florida.
Yeah, well, the SEC is just goofy in general, right? But, yeah, Dan Mullen should be fine. They got the biggest game of the year coming up. so, yeah, I think that's just one of those things. You know, you turn on Feinbaum, you turn on this or that, and they're talking about firing the coach at every school. I don't know if it's going to get too goofy. It just seems like maybe the money is so silly now, some of these big leagues, that the payoff stuff doesn't matter anymore. But to me, Texas Tech was okay. He hadn't done much since he's been there. I think he's got a losing record, and he just lost a game he shouldn't have lost to K-State at home. It's like, we're going to do it after the season. Let's just do it now. It's going to get worse. Speculation. Just do it now, and we'll get a head start on the next guy. Unless the next guy is Art Briles, and you don't really need a head start because nobody else wants him.
He hasn't been to Baylor since 2015. Jeff Taylor at UTSA is, I would think, would be atop their board. So let's bring it closer to home. I brought this up earlier because this was the talk yesterday about, okay, what's going to happen in the last four games? Where's Trev? Where's Scott? Where's the program? What's the vibe? I don't get the impression that Scott is giving off, hey, I'm in my save my job mode. He's still in preaching patience and working his way through the season. You sense any different vibe being in Lincoln on a game week after a bye and after a bad loss?
No, the vibe was today was similar. And actually, Eric Chenander spoke and provided a very good vibe. He came out of the gate and basically thanked everybody for all the support and all the kind words in the last 2 weeks. So he talked about his dad a lot. But I think this is a big week, Gary. If they, you know, I don't have anybody down there using the word winnable right now. I think this is a big one because I think things could get weird if they don't win this game. Don't you? Do you think it could get kind of weird next week if they lose this game? I mean, I still believe that Scott will be back next year. I believe he'll get a fifth year. Everything he's been through, I think he probably should, but you still have to earn that as well. They are better, but they can't cross the finish line. They can't figure that thing out. So what I said yesterday, you know, I'm doing videos now, which is always interesting. They have writers do videos, and you throw in a guy who stutters, it's always interesting, right? So, but I look at the camera, I try to smile and make sense. My take on this last four games is we're gonna get something definitive here. You're going to get a narrative. You're going to get a headline, no matter what happens. It's not going to be zero. It's going to be, okay, they didn't win, and it's 4-8, or heaven forbid 3-9. Okay, that's not very good. This is bad. Or you're going to get, hey, they beat somebody they haven't beaten in a long time. So this is progress. This is a reason to celebrate, right? If you beat Ohio State or Wisconsin or Iowa, this is something that you can take into the off season itself. So if we're going to get one or the other, I'm just not sure which one yet. But I think there's a narrative to be written by Frost these last 4 weeks. He can do himself a lot of good going into the off season by beating, you know, just win one of those, and people will you'll get people to kind of sit up and take notice because it'll be just something different. And that's what he needs, right? He needs something different. He needs to win, and which would be different.
Well,
you know what I mean? So I think these last 4 weeks are really interesting. But, boy, if you start off the wrong foot this week, it could go the other way.
Yeah, I think the last four games give you – if you're still on the fence trying to figure things out, You just sit back. You just grab your popcorn. You just sit back and watch, because there are four different type of games going on here. Nebraska comes out of a bye, which Scott has not won at Nebraska, but now they're a touchdown favorite against a team that 2 weeks ago had one of the more impressive wins of the weekend in college football, and then they ran into the Badgers. Then you have the Ohio State University, which is starting to crank it up, and you're going to get that offense coming in here and the memories of what happens when Ohio State plays in Lincoln. Then you go into another bye week, and you know what the mood would be like. Then you go to Wisconsin, who, by then, Wisconsin may have surprised us all, and they are in the driver's seat to win the West with two losses and an offense that is constipated and looks like a service academy. You got to play on the road where you haven't had great success. Okay. Then you come home and you play Iowa, that if Iowa takes care of business, Iowa's sitting in a spot to, you know, wrap up the West in Memorial Stadium. I mean, I think they're all four different things that will tell you if things that have ailed you, have you been able to fix those on the fly to win games like that? I think the last, we always talk about the last three games. I think throwing in Purdue and where Purdue is at, I think it's fascinating. I think it makes the last four games, tells you everything you need to know about where the program is going to sell it for next year, and for to grab onto something that keeps you upbeat with, okay, now I can see the plan.
And I think one of those wins would do that, don't you? You think if you could beat Wisconsin, now think about this scenario. We were talking about this yesterday. Say they win this week, lose to Ohio State. They go to Madison. They go to Madtown and they win. You know, that's going to happen one of these years, right? And Wisconsin's the ugliest. If they win the division somehow, they'll be the ugliest division winner you've ever seen. But and I'm sure they'll be happy with that. But say you beat Wisconsin, then you're coming home to play Iowa to go to a bowl game. And that's another scenario that could happen.
And, and that happened a couple of years ago.
You know, so it's it could go a lot of different ways right now, and I kind of feel like it's in their grasp, it's in their control. Ohio State may not be. I feel like the other three are kind of like, okay, if they play well, and they don't turn it over, and you know, they could be ready in all those games and with a chance to win. So, yeah, this is Scott Frost. Come on down. Here's your moment. You know. Again, I think he's back next year, maybe with or without his current staff, but I think these next 4 weeks are big.
So on that point, do you think he can save his job or continue in his job, and it involves more than wins and losses? It involves decisions that he had, hard decisions or sometimes easy decisions on what the future looks like?
See, that's the thing we're hearing about next offseason is we're hearing JUCOs and transfer portal, and that's, you know, by the time when he was hired, but after 4 years, I mean, this thing will be rolling. He's going to have the core base built. He'll have his people in. He'll have things like the offensive lines will be built, and he'll just be cranking out recruits and just replacing people who leave. And I don't think anybody was thinking about JUCOs, of course, you can't really judge on transfer portal. But boy, if you're going to have, you know, that's kind of, they have to do that after the season. And, you know, transfer portal is, you better be right, right? Mel Tucker, boy, he was right. And, you know, you almost have to do that. I don't know. It's, I'm sure Trev Alberts will look at everything he already has. He's talking to Scott about all this stuff every week, which is great. That should make Nebraska fans feel a lot better that the AD is right in there. You know, he's part of the process. Obviously, he's not coaching. He may not tell Scott what to do. He may give him a couple of strong hints or suggestions, but. You're right. It's where is it going? How does it look? And right now, after 4 years, they're having to talk about JUCOs and transfers.
Mm-hmm. It would, you know, I keep using this as an example at your daughter's school, your alma mater, Eli Drinkwitz. They're not having the kind of year that they thought they were going to have. They may be a 4-8 football team. But he's able to sell you to stick around a little bit longer because he's putting together a phenomenal recruiting class what could be a 4-8 season. That would benefit Nebraska greatly. I don't think they're going to get a high school kid or a junior college that people around here are going to go, whoa. But if you get a well-known portal to say yes, then somebody, you know, you might go, okay, what was their sale job and why did he say yes to a program that we believe is kind of stuck right now? That's kind of the shot in the arm they need outside of three wins in the last four games.
Yeah, I look at that Missouri deal like from afar, like, you know, they kind of finally figured something out. They got an identity. You know, the guy is funny, he's refreshing. He's sort of a Spurrier wannabe, sort of a, you know, Spurrier Jr., the old ball coach, throws it all over the place. He's not afraid to take shots at people, whatever. But, the bar at Missouri is, they just want to, they're a tough league and it's a tough division. So I think, I think you have to get lucky. And they got a receiver, one of the top receivers in the country out of St. Louis, who wanted to go to Missouri and help start the whole thing, going. So, he turned down Alabama and Georgia to go to Missouri. So you got to get lucky a little bit. You have to find a guy that's like that who really wants to be where you are. So I just don't feel like Nebraska's identity. I don't know what they're trying to do. Who are they trying to be? Because you got playmakers on this roster now, Gary, that aren't getting the ball. Yeah. I mean, how do you sell that? You got to give them the ball. And it's an interesting thing.
That's
something else to watch the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, and you hope you avoid, it's 2 years in a row where you've had a top wide receiver put his name in the portal, J.D. Spielman, who retired today, and Wandale Robinson. You hope you don't make it a third in the offseason.
You're right. And that's just something to watch these next 4 weeks. But the next 4 weeks are big for coaches. They're big for players, too. These players, they want to transfer. They kind of have to show themselves, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, what's your resume, kid? Well, here's what I did. These last 4 weeks it's really weird.
Yeah, I think it's
about winning and losing, but it's about that, too.
Yeah, I think it's all fascinating. Hey, my whole goal now until the basketball season starts 2 weeks from today is ask every newspaper guy, what are the realistic expectations for Fred Hoiberg?
Somebody make a basket. Anybody. Somebody make a basket, please. If he can make two baskets, even better. I don't know. It's Nebraska basketball. I've kind of put my I've stopped pounding my fist a long time ago. I believe Fred is going to win there. Urgency is great, but you know what? Baskets are better. Somebody go please score some points, and they're going to play the way they want to play, and they're going to win their share of games. If they aren't scoring, they ain't going to win. So it's really that simple with this system. They're going to run into I talked with Matt Adelassi yesterday about this. The Big Ten, they're going to hurt you eventually with their rebounding and their the veteran guards and smart play and all that stuff. But you have to just kind of account for that. And the way Nebraska is going to play is they're going to hope that their strengths are so good that they're able to overcome, the occasional night where, there's going to be one of those nights where maybe they aren't shooting, the other guys are rebounding. But I think that they feel really, really good about the talent they have. But I believe it when I see it. I can't wait to see it. And again, if they make some baskets, that's what this thing's all about.
Hey, a couple of quick things here. You had a chance to look at the young Jays roster. When they open up, Kalkbrenner may be the only guy in the starting lineup because Reef is injured. that people recognize. Any early impressions on what you saw?
I have not seen them yet. I've seen them in practice. I did not go Saturday night. To their open house deal. I think they're going to be really good. But that system is really refined, and it's a machine. They know what they want. The players have to learn it. They have to learn where to be and who should get the ball and how often. And Coach Mack said they're going to, because they're so young and they haven't been this young maybe ever, they're going to have to really scale back the install of the offense and defense, how much they give them, and just kind of ease into it. My take is if they find guys and they've got to find guys in the right roles, and that'll take a while. But by January, February, I think this could be a really good team. At least capable of being a really good team. But are we expecting NCAA tournaments this year? Probably not. Does that mean it can't happen? No, it doesn't. In the Big East, anything's possible if you get in the top half. So, I think it'll be a bit the dynamic. We don't, and the same with Nebraska, is the crowd is such a big dynamic for Creighton and Nebraska. What is that going to do? I think Nebraska fans are going to go nuts over this team. I think that's going to help them. I think Creighton the same way.
Now, and 3 weeks from tonight is the Nebraska-Creighton game. You'll also have to stop by Omaha Basketball and check out the new athletic director at Omaha, which is coming up here soon, the announcement.
Okay. Good.
Yep. That process is moving pretty quickly.
Who is it?
Tell
me.
Now I can't say.
Oh.
I can't say. I can't say. It'll be somebody who is very interesting in the dynamics of Omaha athletics. Let's just put it that way. That was horrible.
I know the former AD hopes that it's somebody who's going to take care of UNO and Omaha.
So, yeah. So here, a little quick story for you and for everybody else. So that former AD, who is now the AD at the school that is down the interstate, had quite a few people that wanted to use him as letter of recommendation as a reference. And so he kind of politely declined and said he would speak on behalf of the whole group if that's what they wanted. Yeah.
I agree. Well, I can imagine. He probably didn't want to play favorites.
Right. Nope.
It had to be hard. So, we'll see.
It's an important.
Cancer really doesn't know sports, and she doesn't know Omaha. So I'm sure she's leaning on Trev and everybody else. So, it's a very tough job, and
it is a tough job,
a hard job. But I think they'll hopefully do well. So
yep, they will. They will get the right person. Tom, as always, I appreciate it.
You didn't ask me about Jake Myers.
Yeah, and he's not on the roster for the Astros. That's unfortunate.
Well, I talked to Paul yesterday, and he was great. So, I'll set my calm a little bit here. I'm going to have a little bit of that tomorrow. So enjoy.
So they have gotten, and he is he went to quite a few of the playoff games. Correct?
Yeah. I asked him, where do you stand? Because he's notorious for being as far away from the crowd as possible. He's one of these guys, he did this at Nebraska games. He would stand like way out in the outfield or somewhere in the corner, or he'd be on the upper deck, or he'd be hiding. he's got to be by himself, and he's got to watch the sun, And I said, where do you do that? And he said, well, in the Astros stadium, it's easy. There's so many places to hide. But
Well, you know what? I was thinking of Paulie because, he got right on the doorstep of getting to the majors, and he suffered an injury running into the wall, and he watched his son in Chicago run into the wall that is his shoulder injury right now. I imagine he was like, oh, man.
We talked all about that.
That's a good tease for you.
I don't know, has there ever been a father-son combination in the state of Nebraska who both played pro baseball. That's what I don't know.
Ooh, but, that's a good question. We will get an answer for you.
Okay. All right.
Hey, thanks, cool. Tom. Looking forward to your call tomorrow. There, Tom Chattel from the World Herald. So a little bit of bad radio there about the Omaha Athletic Director job. They're wrapping up the process. It is not me.
Okay, thank you. Wow, yes. You read my mind there.
Yes. Not me. No, I'm not going to reveal who it is.
I got some James.
I don't know who it is.
I got some James Franklin audio if you'd like to
all right, let's do that
aggressively switch topics.
That come back, because I'm reading his quotes. Wow. Imagine so they are going to play in Columbus. They've still got Michigan and Michigan State. They're 5-2, and they're coming off the worst loss since he's been at Penn State. I mean, that's a bad, bad loss. Losing in 9 overtimes to that Illinois team, especially when they ran for 357 on you. Just reading his quotes, this must be uncomfortable. Because he has deferred since the USC job opened up. Remember he had the prepared statement to talk about Iowa and their fans booing the injuries? Now he's got this today. I can't wait to hear the audio, because I read the quotes from Tomlin. We played the audio and people are like, dang, he's mad. Are we going to get the same thing from Franklin?
This is going to confirm probably what you're thinking.
All right.
So look forward to that.
All right. Well, next you're going to hear is that somebody has installed cable at his house in Beverly Hills. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this. They're not going to install cable for you, but what they will do is they'll install confidence in your belief that you can find the right vehicle for you, car, truck, or SUV. You can do it today at Woodhouse Place Nissan, 144th and Giles, or online at woodhouseplacenissan.com. Experience the difference. Purchase with confidence. You have a vehicle in mind, a Nissan you have in mind. Fair price. You want something that is durable, that you enjoy for business and for pleasure. They will help you find it, new or pre-owned. And they've got plenty of inventory at 144th and Giles, and the same inventory in person. You can find it online at woodhouseplacenissan.com. Nissan features that you want, whether as we get into the colder time of the year around here, heated seats, keyless entry, remote starter, Nissan CarPlay, ProPilot Assist, the braking that keeps you safe, all of those things you can find in your Nissan that you want. Start your exploration, 144th and Giles, or do it online. Fill out a credit application, value your trade, and you can purchase your vehicle online as well at WoodhousePlaceNissan.com.